Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone here. So let's just break this out for a second, aren't we? So we have a quarterback and a wide receiver on a good Eagles team that may be feuding, right? Or something's going on. It's not right, and it's clear it's not right. And then we have a pass rusher at the end of their career on WIP.
Here we go.
Adding fuel to the fire.
Here
I mean, where have I seen this story before? I didn't say you did, but what's old is new again. Speaking of the old guard, yesterday, his weekly appearance on WIP. Now, this was before the Brandon Graham show, but here's Donovan McNabb speaking to the afternoon show yesterday about the whole situation with A.J. Brown, what he said about Jalen. Donovan's been in this seat before. Here's Donovan yesterday.
What do you do in that situation when you got a guy as talented as A.J. who wants the football because he wants to contribute to the team winning? I'm just wondering, from a quarterback, how do you sort of handle that?
Ike, come on, Ike. Yeah. You've been in that locker room. Let's not let the.
I always feel like the quarterback.
Act like this is all PQ and it's all PZ. And yeah, let's talk about it. No, it don't go like that. Look, man, it's two grown men. Mm-hmm. It's two grown men. If you got an issue, you come to me. Let's not go through the media. And okay. So if you got an issue, this conversation needs to be had between me and you. And then we'll have that conversation with the play caller. But let's not go through the media because now it blows up.
All right, so that was yesterday, Donovan saying, don't go through the media. So he's critical of AJ, you know, Hugh, for going to the media on Sunday after the game rather than just going to Jalen.
Yeah, but technically, AJ didn't go to the media. He was asked a question.
He was asked.
Yeah, we're playing some. I mean, I know it's semantics, but I mean, we got it, you know.
Okay, so you're right about that. But one part of the Brandon Graham hour yesterday that has not been played as much and talked about as much, he I think it was either Howard or Spike kind of went down that route with him. You know, what was AJ supposed to do? Right, he was asked a question, like you're saying here. Brandon did mention last night. Sometimes in the past, he has said to the media, "Hey, can I get you on Wednesday? I'm really frustrated right now." Like, A.J. didn't have to talk after the game. Receivers aren't contractually obligated, right? The coach has to speak. The quarterback has to speak. A.J. didn't have to speak.
Let me tell you what happens if A.J. doesn't speak. This is even worse than it already is, or is about the same, because now, just like we're doing now, we're speculating. If A.J. would have came in the locker room and said, hey, I don't feel like talking right now, I'll talk Monday or I'll talk Tuesday. Oh. AJ's upset. He didn't talk to the media or something. I mean, it's a no-win situation. AJ did. The unfortunate thing for AJ is history is not on his side. And what I mean by that is when you think about Philadelphia, for example, and the history of receiver-quarterback relationships, this is something that plays out all the time.
All the time.
And he's an emotional guy. He's a hell of a receiver. And he has not been a focal part of the offense in the last couple of weeks. So much so that they were watching him this game to see how he would react. And Elliot, I think, if I'm not mistaken, talked about how he threw his helmet down and how he was frustrated. So no matter what, AJ could have sat there and said with a straight face and a smile on it, hey, everything's fine, everything's hunky-dory, we would have still speculated. That's not true.
Well, and he also he went beyond just passing. He said it's frustrating or it's hard to get in a rhythm when you only throw the ball 20 times.
And where
that's on the coaches.
Where's the lie? Like, you've talked about this, Joe. We've not thrown the ball over 25 times in the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We went from 30 times a game to 25 times a game, and then he only got like 4 targets.
It's a math thing. Like, and he's not going to have enough targets.
He's blocking. He's frustrated. But this is what tends to happen as a fan base. He's frustrated because he feels like he's being froze out of offense, and now he becomes a diva. He's a malcontent.
The issue is, and I understand why he feels that way, They're winning. They've won nine
yeah,
in a row.
That's, but see, that's the tough part
you're
about it, though.
You're not going to win with fans after that.
Yeah, you can't. Because you're in a situation where you're perceived as the bad guy. Because like, dang, dog, why are you complaining? Because we're winning. That's not how receivers are wired.
Well, maybe not. Speaking of wide receivers, so after Donovan's comments yesterday on the afternoon show, guess who chimed in? T.O. Terrell Owens yesterday tweeting this in response to what Donovan said about not going to the media. Quote is from T.O. yesterday. Now, this is interesting coming from you. Not how I interpret it, but funny thing is I agree with you on the idea of if you have an issue with someone that you go to them and not the media. But here's the thing. I never had an issue with you, but it's known that you had an issue with me. So maybe you should have taken your advice here. And, oh, yeah. And we might have won Super Bowl 39, but that's just another story for another day. Hashtag just my two cents. You gave yours. I'm giving mine. And then you threw at the end, hey, Freddie Mitchell, thanks for sharing.
Still waters run deep. Still waters run deep.
It's been 20 years and hey, this man, nonsense is still going on.
I tell you, I know, hey, listen, I know Anna when I hear it. That's a little, still a little animosity with that one.
All right, so it didn't end there. This morning,
then I got the reckless tweet. Talking about, y'all need to get a. No, I ain't got nothing
well,
to do with
well, you're
none
part of this. All right, so this morning on Instagram, is this Freddie Mitchell and T.O.? Let's hear what they're discussing.
Like I said, nobody knows unless you got firsthand information that those two guys have beef.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it got to a point when I played toward the end of the season. I didn't like Donovan, but that didn't deter me from going out there bowling.
And you know what? It's so funny, Tierra. Let me put this out there because people don't know that y'all was so mad at each other, but you had your best game in the Super Bowl. He still threw you the ball,
bro. That's all that matters. At the end of the day, once you get in between the lines, anything external, like bro, that shouldn't matter because the common goal is to win games.
Right.
If you're being selfish and not throwing me the ball for X, Y, Z, for whatever reason, then that's on you. That's gonna affect you.
Hmm. There's a lot going on there. All right, Hugh, we have to address something here. Right. Are you ready for this? Well, I can't cut through the irony of this. Like,
isn't it ironic?
Well, I mean, think about it. We have a quarterback and a receiver that have an issue, and it's a defensive pass rusher at the end of their career on WIP.
I'm like,
that's causing
that
problems.
Is. First of all,
you did this.
In my defense. This story gets so like changed and it just I didn't say anything about T.O. I sat there. It was Angelo Cataldi's fault. Yeah, that's right. I said it. It was Angelo's fault.
This is like if BG blames Spike and Howard.
No, this is what happened. See, people tend to forget. There are certain things that happen during the course of that week that people tend to forget. That was the week we went to Dallas and we lost to the Dallas Cowboys. And T.O. wore a Michael Irvin jersey at the end of the game. Go look it up. And Angelo came on the show that Monday morning talking bad about T.O. The day that I happened to be there. So I'm sitting there. Now, if I'm guilty of anything, I'm guilty of probably not defending him because in that situation, there's no defense for wearing a Dallas Cowboys jersey because Angelo was saying something to the effect like the man gave up, he quit, and all this other stuff. So I'm sitting there. So this is when I was the bad assiter. So I went, I usually go over there after practice, and somebody told him that I was either talking bad about him or I didn't defend him. And again, ain't no defending that because we lost the game and he wore a Michael Irvin jersey. I'm not trying to defend that. So he got upset, and then one thing led to another, and then it infamously became Hugh talking bad about T.O. And that never happened. I never opened my mouth. I didn't say a word. Angelo did that. That's Angelo's fault. He didn't put that in the book, Angelo, if you're listening. Put that truth in the book.
Pass the buck, Douglas, over
I'm
here.
Not passing the buck.
20
That's
years
exactly
later.
What happened. Yeah. Ask Rhea. She was here. Because everybody, Angelo, you talk about somebody, Angelo flamed him that day, and I just kind of sat there.
I'm just saying, 20 years later, the irony, it cuts through thick.
And I just happened to be, it wasn't on me, it wasn't my fault.
Deja vu last night on WIP. Here we go again.
That's not my fault, man.
You paved the way.
I did not pave the way.
And BG took the torch and ran with it last night. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Let's grab Will, and then someone's got to call Hugh out here. This is going to be a trick. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing?
What's up,
Will? What's up?
Listen, man, everybody asks how I get thrown under the bus, man. Because it starts off, like I said, at the beginning of the season with this Saquon team and all this. Like, I mean, of course, that's gonna create like a little bit of beef. You know what I mean? Because like we all know, AJ was our leading receiver. He was our big down play. But it's like since they switched this running game, you know, switched the game to a running game, it's been, you know, I understand where AJ is coming from. But let's not always think for the next person. What he said was, and this is how I took it, I think he's saying that because our next opponent, and then when we do make the playoffs, if you looked at last week's game, all them games, it was a lot of throwing, man. It wasn't too much running. Every game that came down to the wire was passing. So we haven't been passing like a lot of these teams has been lately. And that's going to factor into our run. And especially if we go into the big game, it's going to factor in. So, and this is my thing with Jalen. And I'm going to say this, Jalen. It's not that, you know, they're afraid of your turnovers as far as throwing the ball. You only have 5 interceptions, right? Mm-hmm. They're afraid because you're standing in the backfield like a statue. You're not getting that ball out your hands. You've been sacked 35 times, bro.
35.
That's what they're afraid of. They need you to get the timing down so you can start, you know, activating all the wide receivers and the tight ends. Your timing is off, bro. You got to look down the field, and guess what? Whoever you're supposed to hit, let that ball rip, man. And AJ, listen, next time, just address the situation. You know what I'm saying? And not bring it up public, because that's what happened last season. And please, I'm going to end it with this. Do not allow this nonsense, this stupidity, to mess up our run for the season, because we want to go to Louisiana, baby.
We're trying to get on that bus, Will. Figure it out. Will, good phone call. Oh, let's go to Nick in Delco, who wants to call Hugh out. What's up, Nick?
Hey, good morning, fellas. What's up,
Hugh? Hey, Nick.
Good morning.
All right, so you don't think that A.J. Brown was pointing a direct finger at Jalen Hurts, correct?
No, I don't.
All right, so I seen something this morning when I got off for work where A.J. was just retweeting on Twitter. Now, he retweeted a quote that says, I'm going to read it to you. Best part of getting back up on your feet is knowing who not to walk with again.
Oh, boy.
Now, who would that directly be directed at? Because me looking at it, I'm thinking that's directed directly at Jalen Hurts.
Or Brandon Graham.
Brandon Graham. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, Brandon Graham ripped into him last night.
That's a good point. That is a good point. But in hindsight of everything that just unfolded, and that's the man that he was so-called, you know, good friends with and best friends with this past, you know, couple years, and how is he supposed to take that?
Wait a minute. Are we talking about – so first you asked me who do I think it was directed towards, and I told you it was directed towards BG, but you think it's directed towards Jalen? Is that – am I hearing you correct?
Yes, yes.
Again, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way, so I'm not following the path you're trying to lay for me.
All right. Let me rephrase it. So you got, you know, regardless of what Brandon Graham said, we all know the friendship between, you know, Jalen Hurts and AJ has been fractured. I mean,
Nick, how do we know that?
Well, we heard it from BG. He did say he maybe spoke out of turn.
Yes, BG said he spoke out of turn. So how do we know for sure, outside of what BG said, that they have a fractured relationship?
All right, fair enough. We're not there seeing it.
See, that's what I'm saying. This is where like
speculating.
Reckless speculation.
I do think it is fair to say over the last couple of years they don't seem as gregarious together as they did when he first got here.
I mean, that's fair to say, but I can say Big Boy and Andre 3000 don't get along, but they still making music and they still winning.
Sure.
I mean, things have changed.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, so I guess speculating is the way to go about this.
Nick, good phone call. I got you.
No, and see, this is the problem with no disrespect to Nick, but this is the problem with allowing outside individuals in family business, because everybody hears things differently.
So you're right,
and everybody has an opinion about your relationship, and we don't know. We don't know.
You're right about that. We don't know. And when you bring people in, then there's reckless speculation everywhere.
Reckless all over the place.
But here is what I have been wondering since last night. The what Brandon Graham said is obvious. We've played it a million times. It has been probably viewed millions of times everywhere, right? You can't avoid it.
If he wasn't famous, he went famous
right
last
now.
Night.
Okay? But the why is what interests me. Why did he do that? Whether or not he's now saying, maybe I shouldn't have. Why last night did he get on the microphone and say, I gotta go after these guys, especially AJ.
Doing the Percocet.
Well, maybe that's
part of the holidays.
The holidays, Percocet, maybe. I also wonder if maybe he's speaking for others. Like, you know, there's a...
See, maybe if he's doing that, he dead wrong for that, too.
Well, no, maybe there's a frustration in that locker room that the other veterans are seeing these two young guys, and they're still young in their career, have an issue, and it's hurting the team, and then they're like, listen, we've tried to talk to them in private, we've tried to get them right, they're not right. You know, maybe a little public pressure is not going to hurt them a little bit here.
Public pressure is the worst thing you could do in this situation.
What does pressure make you?
Pressure makes what is that? Pressure busts pipes and cuts diamonds.
That's right, cuts diamonds. Let's cut some diamonds here.
It's a little similar to the situation that we don't necessarily have a full conclusion to yet, but with the Sixers basically calling out Embiid via the media.
Yeah, and he's still looking for the one-armed man.
That is an interesting comp, right? Yeah. So it was Maxey doing it in private, but someone decided.
Correct.
That we got to turn
the
it up a notch.
The message didn't get through. That's at least sort of how we speculated.
Brandon turned that dial up last night.
Because, this is what happens. And this is why the person just alluded to the fact I didn't see the tweet, if AJ tweeted or not. He said, now you know who not to walk with. That's why you don't do things like that. Because the message is not received. I said this last night. You don't get caught on the message. You get caught on the way the message was delivered.
Sure.
And Brandon, I can guarantee you if AJ did that, first thing he said, damn, BG, you called me out in public? You air in family business? You can't do that. And then everything that BG was trying to accomplish went out the window because you're stuck on the fact that a family member went out and told grandma something that happened. Now grandma got something to say about it. And you're like, damn.
Is Howard grandma on this?
He could be grandma in this situation.
Balls
because
get
everybody
sweaty.
Everybody has their own interpretation of what should be happening or what is happening. I got phone calls last night. You said, see, I told you he was a cancer. These will be going. And to the people that said, I knew something was going on because I saw it all year long.
Mm.
When did you see it? When we went on the 8-game winning streak or before that? Because if that's what you're going with, you're lying. You're lying. You didn't see none of this until it just happened.
Wow.
You felt like something was wrong, but you do what we always do as Eagles fans. We put our head in the sand and we hope for the best. Well, Brandon just validated our parking ticket last night. Now everybody's all in a tizzy.
No, you're right about the head in the sand thing. We do that all the time. We did it last year at the end.
Yeah, we did.
So maybe Brandon said, get your head out of the sand.
I was on board with slapping folks and having a meeting, but didn't nobody else want to do that.
Your slapping folks thing, our receiver and quarterback are still beefing 20 years later.
I know.
You know why they're beefing?
Your methods don't work, pal.
No, you know why they're beefing?
Because of you.
Yeah, it's your fault.
I mean, you're part of it.
Let me tell you.
Because of Angelo?
Angelo's definitely
part of it. Can I tell you, this can be fixed this weekend, but we would have never gotten here if Jalen would have just threw AJ the damn ball.
So are you
that
saying,
second play of the game? Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Are you alluding to the idea that this guy pouts and he gets his way?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to throw him the ball on purpose now, force it in there.
No, and listen,
because
I'm not
cried
for,
after
you ain't
the
forced.
Game.
Listen, Pittsburgh's going to put eight in the box. Give him the ball, win the ball. Feed this man. That's all you got to do is feed him. Just give him a hug. Be like,
you're
yeah, dog.
You're setting a bad precedent.
Listen, no, you're not. You know what you say?
Precedent.
You say, listen, dog.
You want the football? Cry
no,
about it.
No, listen. No, this is how you do it. Say, listen, dog. I apologize for missing you on that wide open play. We're gonna get you right.
Maybe AJ should apologize.
But listen, I'm trying
to call him out publicly.
Listen, I'm trying to be the bigger man in this situation. And if now you talk about Kyle, I never apologize. If it means me to getting a trip to Louisiana, damn it, I'm apologizing more for. I'm apologizing.
I apologize.
Even if I didn't do nothing, I'm apologizing.
Okay, you apologize whenever I make him because I have this back here.
Well, you got that back there. I apologize. But still, that's what you had to say. Hey, man, I'm going to try to get you involved this weekend. That's all you got to do. And go out here and beat these Pittsburgh Steelers, man.
I think AJ should be the one apologizing. What are we doing here?
Just a quick break from the action here. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind everybody, we do have a game Sunday against the Steelers.
Big one.
George Pickens doubtful officially.
Okay, so that's a big one.
If anyone cares,
their
today.
Diva receiver's doubtful. Ours is doubting the quarterback. There we go. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
What's up, Terrence?
Man, I feel like, if BG didn't air this out, I feel like some way, somehow, later in the week, it was going to come out anyway. Now, was AJ right about the passing game? He's absolutely right about the passing game. But I feel like right now, when he made that point about the passing game, you look at all the other teams that's passing right now. The Lions, they're over 2,000 yards rushing. The Ravens, over 2,000 yards rushing. But the difference is Lamar Jackson has over 3,000 yards passing.
Mm-hmm.
Goff has over 3,000 yards passing. Jalen Hurts is barely over 2,000 yards passing. And I feel like the passing game has to get addressed. Now, we don't want to air out our dirty laundry, but I feel like BG was tired of the same thing that happened last year, and they said we don't know if AJ had a problem with Hurts last year, and that was part of the meltdown that we had. But I feel like I heard AJ say these guys don't talk during the game or communicate during the game. That's a problem. That's stuck out as a problem to me, because we know all the star quarterbacks in the league. We see them on the sidelines on NFL films, the Brady and Mahomes. Like, they're talking on the sidelines. If the defense does this, we're going to do this. That's a problem if you guys are best friends. He's the godfather of your kid, and you guys are communicating during a game. If you guys are best friends in real life, you're going to be best friends on the damn field, too. You're going to communicate on the field, too. You don't get nothing. You don't get nothing get involved in your you guys to make it personal. If you guys can communicate during your job, during a sport that kids play.
Yeah, Terrence, I thought that was the most underrated part of AJ speaking after the game, was him saying they don't really communicate during the game. Like, that, you would think that the quarterback and receiver would talk a little bit about what each is seeing
like
out there.
How are you not communicating during a game? That's very important to aspect of a game and how a defense defends you.
And maybe, maybe that part is on Jalen. Excuse me, Terrence, appreciate it. I don't know. I mean, Jalen always sits by himself. He's kind of stoic on the sideline. You know, I've been frustrated with AJ for calling him out and doing it publicly, and I'm glad BG did what he did. But, maybe that part's on Jalen. Like, Jalen could be a little more, a little bit more communicative on the sidelines than sitting by himself.
I don't know if that's a fair assessment, because I can't imagine.
But AJ said it. They don't really talk during the game.
See, he said it in the context of what he was asked about fixing the passing game.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to play semantics here, everybody, because I know I'm probably irritating somebody. Say, well, it's the way I interpreted it. It was in that moment. I think he was in that moment. I think they talk. I think in that moment when they asked, were they trying to fix it in that moment? I think that's what he was saying. No, not in that moment.
And you might be right on that. To be fair, I can't think of many times the camera has shown AJ and Jalen on the sideline and it looks like they're working through something like, hey, I saw this, you saw that. It's just rare. Now, maybe it happens and we're not getting it on camera, and maybe Fox needs to give us that on Sunday. I'm sure they will. I'm sure there'll be a lot of cameras.
Oh, no, it's going to be on. Yeah. It's on and popping now, because it was like that last year. It's on and popping.
I want to see it, because I think that would help. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. You know what that voice means. Time to talk to our guy, Ross Tucker.
Ross!
You can follow him on social media, at Ross Tucker, for his Ross Report every single day, talking Eagles football. Ross, how you doing today?
I'd be doing a lot better if we don't talk about what I think we're going to end up talking about.
Well, I'm gonna keep it vague as I possibly can. But Ross, can we survive this?
Yeah, it's funny. I've actually come like full circle on it.
Already?
In the sense that, so after AJ Brown's comments after the game, which I was not a big fan of, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they won the game. I know the passing game wasn't where he wanted it to be. I know that, they're not clicking on all cylinders, all those things. Just not a big fan of sharing any type of negativity with the media, in particular after a game in which you win, right? I don't see how that helps.
It doesn't help anything.
Well, unless it's like the whole thing where it's like squeaky wheel gets the ball type of thing, mm-hmm. which I understand, I guess, but even in that instance, doesn't seem like you need to do that after a win, and that they could have discussed whatever. So I was not a fan of what AJ Brown did after the game. And as a result, I thought, man, this is going to be a bad week. The Eagles not in a good way. After what Brandon said yesterday, And then again, you know, clarifying it this morning, I kind of feel differently about it in the sense that they really have to address it now. Whatever the situation is or isn't, you feel like at a minimum, Sirianni's going to talk about it in front of the whole team. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Brandon Graham talks about it in front of the whole team. Maybe Hurts, maybe A.J. Brown. In other words, I think it went from, you know, something that could linger and not be good to now something like they got to address it. They got to resolve it. They have to move on. I think there's actually a decent chance they could rally around it. I guess we'll find out Sunday if this is the type of thing that they rally around and becomes like a rallying cry, or if it's something different or worse or more than that, or whatever you want to call it, and it ends up becoming something that really hurts the team. But I guess Brandon and all the attention that Brandon's comments last night got made it so it's not something you can just brush under the rug. This is something that's going to be addressed now in team meetings by at least multiple people.
I totally agree with you, Ross.
So you think it's a good thing?
I am hoping, yes. I think sometimes having a, you know, I remember some of them when I was a player, you know, sometimes having a, I don't know, for lack of a better word,
come to Jesus moment.
Yeah, you know what? That is, I don't know why that's the meeting. Why is that the name of that meeting? I have no idea.
But I just like
it's definitely the name of the meeting. It's a come to Jesus meeting. Yeah, I think a come to Jesus meeting could be something that they really rally around. And like, I wouldn't be surprised now if they come out and beat the Steelers by two scores. I mean, I went from earlier in the week, which is just yesterday, I guess, thinking that, they might lose the Steelers, to now I'm thinking maybe they beat them by two scores. Who knows?
Ross, I'm with you on this. I think it could be a good thing, and I think it's unavoidable now. Like, you can't pretend. You can't put your head in the sand anymore. It's there. It's out there, obviously, very publicly. So hopefully they figured out. Ross, let's go back to AJ Sunday. There was a lot there. The first thing he said about passing is the biggest issue. That's the thing that's gotten the most play. You know, was he talking about Jalen particularly? But Ross, after that, he spoke about something. He was asked if it's difficult to get in a rhythm as a receiver when you're only throwing the ball as a team 20 times a game. And he said, incredibly so. And that really hit me, because even though they're winning, I just wonder under the surface if the receivers, but as AJ obviously is putting his voice to it, are frustrated. They're not getting enough targets, not enough throws to go around. Ross, do you think we're reaching a point here where they have to open it up more? And I know it sounds counterintuitive because they're not throwing it well right now, but do you think to keep everyone happy, they need to balance this offense out more?
I don't think to keep everyone happy, Joe. I think to go to the Super Bowl and win it. And those are probably the same things, right? They're not going to win the Super Bowl, play, or even probably get to it, playing the way they did Sunday in the passing game. It's just not going to happen. And by the way, with A.J. Brown saying passing, I mean, who else is he talking about? There's nobody else throwing him the ball, right? So he's got to be referencing Hurts on some level, and he should be. I mean, you watch the game. I don't know why Hurts doesn't throw the ball some of those times. I don't understand. Only he can tell you what he's looking at. I think there's pros and cons of every player in the NFL. One of the huge pros of Hurts is he doesn't turn it over very much. I wonder if he's being a little bit overly cautious, not throwing it in some of these situations, because, you know, you watch the tape and it's like, could show it to him right there. Show it to him right there. So to answer your question, I don't think they need to go out of their way against the Steelers, especially to give the ball to the receivers. They should do whatever it takes to win the game. I do think, though, that they're smart enough to realize they need to do a better job throwing the ball in the passing game to win what looks like it's going to be four playoff games. It doesn't look like – I mean, it's unlikely. It's possible, but I would say probably unlikely. They get the number one seed. To win four playoff games, they're going to have to throw the ball much better than they did on Sunday.
Ross, players improve at all different stages of their career. You know, we see some guys that are busts and then they, you know, turn their career around. But I have gotten to the point now, Ross, where I wonder with Jalen, and I agree with you, he does some things exceptionally well. You know, obviously, his running ability and his toughness, it helps them win games. But it just feels like in the passing game, it goes back to when he first started to now. If it's not clearly there, he sometimes doesn't want to throw it. And I think it's becoming an issue now. Do you think this is going to get better? Or at some point, do you wonder if this tendency he's had, even back to college, is just what he is as a quarterback?
I do wonder that. He has shown he can play at a really high level. In particular, 2 years ago, you think about the Super Bowl. What was unique about 2 years ago is it was the only year since high school that Jalen Hurts had the same offensive coordinator back-to-back years. He had Steichen in 21 and 22. So I can't say, Joe, this is just who he is, because I kind of need to see him with Kellen Moore next year with a full, you know, offseason, a second year in the same system. Maybe he just needs that level of comfort and experience to feel more at ease throwing the ball in rhythm and on time. So I'm with you. I think it's a fair question to ask, but I think I can definitively say that next year. What I would say this year is I do think Steichen's offense, it felt like there were more defined reads and that Hurts would get the ball out on time. It just felt like so often that year, it was bing, bang, boom, like the ball was out. This year, even on some of his completions, I don't know why he's holding it so long. And the thing I think about as a former offensive lineman when I watch the Eagles sometimes is Hurts really doesn't know what it's like for most quarterbacks out there. I mean, he's sitting back there these times, clean pockets, like 4 seconds. That is not what it's like for most quarterbacks in the NFL. You got to get it out within 3 seconds or you're dead. And so this might sound weird, but the Eagles' offensive line being the way they are at times almost allows or plays into Hurts holding the ball. He's not forced to throw the ball, first read, second read, ball out, like a lot of these other guys are. Because the line's so good, he can go first read, second read. Okay, I still don't like it. Now let me buy some more time. That's not really what the NFL is like, but that's what it's like for Jalen Hurts because they have the best offensive line in football.
Yeah, it's almost in a weird way helped him, but also enabled maybe this from improving the way it needs to be. Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, what do you think the responsibility and what kind of responsibility is on Sirianni this week to help these guys through this? It's a weird distraction. It's obviously a distraction now. Is this the kind of thing you think a coach would call a meeting with a few guys like Jalen and AJ, maybe Brandon too? Is this a team meeting thing? Like, where do you think the responsibility falls on Sirianni to try to get them all on the same page?
Well, I think he'll definitely address it in a team meeting. I think he'll definitely address it with Brandon Graham. And I think he'll probably talk to AJ Brown and Hurts. I don't know how many of those four will address the whole team. I would imagine two of them do. I think Sirianni would bring it up, and I would think at a minimum Brandon Graham would say something. And then I wouldn't be surprised if after Brandon Graham steps up and says, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, blah, 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 if A.J. Brown or Hurts or someone steps up, like I would like to think A.J. Brown would say, you know what, that's my bad too. I'm mad I didn't catch more passes. I'm mad we're not where we need to be. I don't need to be saying that to the media. I would love if that happened. It's funny because with so much conversation, you know, going into this year about Sirianni and what does he do now that he's not as involved in the offense and blah, 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 which, by the way, isn't really true. He's still very involved with the offense. But with that being the narrative out there, I think most people would agree that this is actually one area where he excels, right? Like interpersonal relationships, culture, you know, the guys like him. They like his energy. They like that he wears their T-shirts, the whole deal. You know, I would think he's Italian. I think he would be excellent at, you know, getting people together and getting them all to hug and let's go eat something or whatever. You know, I just, that's the vibe I get from Sirianni, is that he would be very good at kind of getting everybody on the same page and having a kumbaya moment.
I like that. They'll break bread. They'll get Big Dom there, a bottle of red wine, and figure the whole thing out.
Big Dom.
Ross, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk next week. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about with this football team. Thank you,
well,
Ross.
Well, it's a huge game, so yes. I'm looking forward to talking about it. See ya.
It'll be great. There he goes. Ross Tucker there with the Ross Report every day on Social Media. See, Ross is with me. This was a good thing yesterday that Brandon Graham made sure that you can't put your head in the sand anymore.
Well, it was – Ross coming from a perspective of – now you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have did that without having it going public. If you knew something was wrong, then if you, the elder statesman, just sit them both down and say, hey, man, we're trying to get this thing to Louisiana.
Maybe he's tried.
Fix it.
I mean, I always wonder when people do dramatic things, is it the last stitch effort? Like, what's happened before to lead us to this point?
Because Brandon even admitted he ain't talked to nobody.
Maybe not recently, but he
just went off all willy nilly.
Well, no,
I'm telling you, man, it was the meds.
But just because you have meds or maybe you had a couple of drinks doesn't mean you're not telling the truth. The truth comes out.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
If you had a couple of drinks or some meds, that's when you need to go air out your dirty laundry. Nah.
No, I didn't say you have to do it, but that's when the truth comes flying out. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Diane, who's up on WIP. Hey, Diane.
Hi, thank you for taking me again. My phone kept dropping out, so when you asked for me the first time, I wasn't there.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, we're happy to have you on the show. Diane,
happy to have you.
What are you feeling? What do you think about all this?
Okay, number one, if everyone thinks this just managed to come to a boil today, this has been going on for a while in the background. We just don't know about it, and I don't blame AJ at all. If I were him, I first of all asked for the quarterback or somebody to give me a flare gun so I could shoot it up so somebody would see me wide open and throw me the ball, because this is Jalen Hurts' biggest weakness, and he's always had it. He does not have field vision. He cannot see these open people. I don't know why. I don't know how tall he is. Maybe he's too short. I can't figure it out. But this has been going on for a long time. He was so successful because of his legs. People keep forgetting his legs got him a lot of places, not his arm as much. Now, he was good with the deep bombs every now and then, but I think this weakness is coming to a head now at maybe not the best time, because we're not going to make many playoff wins or the Super Bowl if he's playing like this.
Diane, I agree with that. And the way you framed it, when we had Ross on before we pulled up your call, he mentioned a couple years ago when Jalen was at his best, it was a little bit more defined. Like, he knew exactly where to go with the ball, and he would do that well. But now that it's a little bit more having to go through it and see the field, it seems like he's just a tick behind, and he's not seeing AJ. And not the play that I thought of when you said flare gun, that first throw of the game when AJ's open by 20 yards and he doesn't throw him the ball.
Exactly. What do you have to do, like I said, besides shoot up a flare? It's so obvious. We're all screaming. He's jumping around, waving his arms. I'm like, how do you not see this guy? And he's one of your main receivers. Aren't you trying to key on him every now and then?
Of course.
Instead of looking everywhere else?
You would think.
I just I just don't get it. And again, I think this is what he really is, and he's been the whole time, and he's just gotten away with it.
I have that feeling deep down too, and he could still win games. Obviously, he's won 9 in a row. It's not a death sentence as a quarterback, but it makes it more challenging. Diane, we appreciate the phone call. That flare gun idea was wild. Remember back in the day when receivers used to use the props?
Yeah.
T.O. had the Sharpie.
Yeah,
and he signed the football.
Yeah, didn't he hide it in the that was Joe Horn. He had a cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that was Joe Horn's kid on the field for the Panthers the other day. J.C. Horn is Joe Horn's kid.
I didn't know that.
I didn't realize it is until the game was started. But I imagine a flare gun from AJ. That might be the biggest WWE heel turn ever. He's wide open. He hits the flare gun on the 50-yard line. See me over here, Jalen.
What are you doing?
So she blames Jalen for this. His play is causing this. I mean, it is interesting. You kind of unpack this from the start to the finish. It's Jalen's play causes AJ's frustration. AJ's frustration causes his comments. His comments lead to Brandon Graham's, and here we are, Hugh. It does go back to the play of the quarterback.
But the quarterback, you need the quarterback, because let's be real. If it's not for Jalen, then you're not having the success that you're having. And the one person I think that you would not want to alienate in a situation like this is the guy that is throwing you the football. You gotta figure out. There are better ways to handle this.
I agree.
And you have to figure out how to get on the same page, man. I mean, I know that this dynamic has changed and the way that you handle it might not have been the best way, but you have to figure out a way to get on the same page.
Well, they better before this thing implodes here. Let's talk to Self in North Philly. What's up, Self?
Hey, yo. What up, fellas?
What's going
on? Listen, Hugh, stop. Hugh, stop. We got to stop appeasing this clown. We have Donovan McNabb, Joel Embiid, and now we have Charlie AJ Clown on this team. Stop. I told y'all last season when he was on the sideline barking at Jalen, that's when that season all went to hell. And he did it again. But this time, the cancer, he sat on the sideline next to Devontae and tried to get him involved in this now. Stop. Devontae, stay out of that nonsense. Stay away from that clown. He's a cancer. He's a diva. He's selfish. And now Saquon feeling there. I don't even know if he want to go for the record now. You heard Landon Dickinson say yesterday, we want him to get this record. He probably don't even want to go for that now. You got to get rid of cancers like that, man. I told y'all before, you can get another receiver. I don't care how great he is. Let somebody else deal with his antics and his problems. Anybody call him in, defending this dude, and Brandon said it yesterday, you can hear it in his voice like you heard it in mine. He's frustrated. I hate to see clowns on the team bringing it down for everybody, man. That is a team. They're winning. And look at this. He did it last year when they were winning. He did it this year while they're winning. And why don't he act like that when they're losing? He only do it when they're winning. Dig me? And then now he's, what is it? Saquon jersey selling more than yours? You're not the face and the eyes and the talk of the town no more? Like Saquon coming in, first of all, didn't we say we ought to figure out how to get the ball around everybody? So now he's getting the tight ends involved. All right, so what?
Yeah, well, Self, I do think the one thing you brought up there, Self, good phone call. The one thing that is interesting, Hugh, I believe it's 3 years in a row we've had an AJ moment on the sidelines during a victory.
He's an emotional cat.
Yeah, but it is pretty rare. Like, it's one thing we're all annoyed after a loss. If my memory serves, it was the Giants playoff game in 22. He was annoyed on the sidelines. It was the game against Minnesota last year in September against Minnesota. They won on the sidelines, frustrated. And then this one against the Panthers, they won on Sunday. I mean, whether or not it's fair, it does make people think you're selfish if you're frustrated during wins.
He did himself no favors. Let me just say that. He did himself no favors by answering the way that he answered. But outside of what Brandon said, he didn't say a whole lot. Listen, the thing that I'm not going to do is vilify him for some of the antics that he's had in the past. Now, as a receiver, this is kind of par for the course when it comes to receivers. It's not making excuses for him. It's more, you know, they're emotional individuals. Like I said, I haven't been around a receiver who doesn't skew that type of personality.
Mm.
Don't know too many. T.O. was a very, very emotional guy.
Still is.
Yeah, to this day. I mean, and that's just how they're wired. A.J. Brown did not handle the situation. He left it open. He left it open-ended. Brandon he co-signed it. He put signatures on it. But if you're being fair, A.J. didn't do nothing to deserve what's being said, because now we're talking about stuff that has happened in the past and all this other stuff.
So you're right. He started it. He didn't go out there and say Sunday, this is all Jalen Hurts' fault.
He didn't say that.
We've assumed that's what he meant.
He left it open. He did not do himself no favors by leaving it open.
And you know what? He's been around here long enough and he's been in the NFL long enough
to know better.
Right. Like, he could have said, what's the issue with the offense? Passing. And then he could have paused and said, it's all of us, right? I got to be better. We all got to be better. We can be better. I think there's a way to almost couch your opinion or what you're...
He didn't do none of that.
No. If you just say, what's the issue here? Passing. Well, what's the first thing people think of? Well, who passes the ball? The quarterback.
AJ. Yeah. I mean, Jalen.
Right. It's almost like he's calling him out. Kenny is up on WIP. Hey, Kenny.
What is with these defensive linemen and wide receivers?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? History repeats itself. It's crazy.
Yeah, but the other part, there's three parts to this. Part two is, what is with these wide receivers always complaining? You ever hear an offensive lineman complain because I didn't run through his gap? It's always the wide receivers. Talk about that position.
They're wired different, man. Receivers are wired different.
Defensive linemen are wired different. They're like firemen, man. They don't got time for this BS. And they're just going to tell you how it is. And some of these guys don't like it. My whole thinking, because now that I'm in my late 50s and I'm a dad, and I know Grant and Bram, you know, he's in his late 30s, which is old for a football player, and he's a dad. He basically was speaking to his two young kids to grow the bleep up, is what he was saying. He's like, yeah, enough of this crap. You know, we're winning. We got a good thing going. Knock it off before I got to come down there and spank you.
It's funny you framed it that way, Kenny. One of the breaks today before we left, Joe Wechter came in here, and he had a very similar thought. Like, the idea was, like, he was on the radio last night, but he was almost speaking to Jalen and AJ. Like, hey, figure this out. Enough.
No, funny you said that. I just talked to Joe about an hour ago. Well, he said that to me, too.
He gets it. It's a good take.
Yeah. But here's the other thing. When AJ said passing, and I know everybody's going straight to the quarterback, you know, I go to the games, I sit up high, and I watch the whole field. I don't like our routes. I don't like our schemes. He could also be meaning Kellen Moore because he's still got that Dallas stink on him, and I'm telling you, man, you can't wash it off no matter how many showers you take.
Yeah, Kenny, he might. You know, that when we were going through it earlier, and Kenny, always appreciate your call, my gut was he was talking about Jalen. But if it's not only Jalen, he's not talking about the line. He's not talking about himself.
Yeah, he could have been talking about the routes, because
yeah,
the one
Kellen
thing
Moore.
That has been said about this offense is that it's somewhat vanilla. It's not. We don't run complex routes. We don't do all that other stuff.
Now, is that because Kellen doesn't want to, or maybe they're keeping it this way for Jalen?
And again, there's so much
right
that goes into that we don't know. And I think that's why it's easy. Put it like this, and I'm not making excuses for anybody or defending anybody. I'm just trying to get people to think of it a different way. Because it's easy, because of the past, to sit here and say that AJ's the cancer or AJ's the problem because he left it ambiguous. And we know what he's done in the past. It could be a number of different things.
It can, but Brandon added fuel to that fire.
And that's the thing.
He called out AJ.
But Brandon didn't even know what's going on. Brandon don't even know what's going
on. But he felt it.
Joe, just because you feel it don't mean it's right.
Wait a second. He's on WIP. If you feel it, it's right.